Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Many books in the New Testament speak of the mysteries of God. First of all, Colossians tells us that God is a mystery, but that Christ is the mystery of God. But then Christ also is a mystery. And so Ephesians tells us that the mystery of Christ is the church. Well, you may say, what's so mysterious about the church? The church in reality is where the immeasurable Christ, far above all, can still be so small and so intimate that he can dwell within us, even make his home in our hearts. Now, this is mysterious. For as the Apostle Paul himself puts it, this mystery is great, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Bob Danker has joined us again. Good to have you back, Bob.
It's good to be back, Chris. This mystery, the church, is so marvelous. It touches us in such a mysterious way, I would say. Our relationship with Christ is mysterious, and this relationship is what makes us the church.
Let's talk about that for just a moment. I think that's very much on point today as we get into this matter. I think people have an understanding of the church on a number of different levels. Of course, the obvious one that is most quickly dispelled is that, oh, I know the church. That's the building on the corner. Nothing mysterious there. Of course, a more enlightened understanding would say, well, no. The church is actually all of the believers assembled together. But still, not that mysterious, is it? But yet, according to Paul in the revelation in his epistles, there is something magnificently mysterious about the church.
That's right. And this mystery is really in the relationship of the church with Christ. If the church is merely a congregation of believers, then there may not be much involvement of Christ. But the church is much more than a congregation of believers. The church is, in its intrinsic sense, the body of Christ. That means that Christ is living in the church. Christ and the church are really one entity, and this entity is the mystery, the fact that Christ and the church are one.
Well, we have a mystical, we have used the term organic union with Christ, and the consummation of that really is the church as his body, the one new man, as we've seen in Ephesians, all expressing him in both life and also his person. This is much higher. Bob, let's look at these verses again now today that are at the center of our program, at least the beginning portion in chapter 3, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. This really is the church, Bob. Let's join Witness Lee.
Christ with the church. These are two familiar terms. But tonight, I would check with you all, what is Christ? And what is the church? Oh, may the kind be so clear to all of us that we may have a clear vision about Christ as well as about the church. Amen. Ephesians is a short book, but I tell you, in the whole Bible, there's not a book that reveals Christ so high, so all-inclusive, in such a wonderful way as the book of Ephesians. First of all, you have verses like this. Christ is far above all. We may think the third heavens is the highest peak in the universe, But here in chapter 4, it says, Christ is even far above that. And chapter 1 says, He fills all in all. He is higher than everything, and He is lower than everything. He is far above all, and He is underneath all. Such a Christ, far above all, and underneath all, vertically and horizontally, all inclusive, such a Christ would make His home in your heart. Oh, Christ is not only so high or so low, but so intimate. That is Christ. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, who is immeasurable. Yet this Christ is making home in your heart. Isn't this wonderful? Wonderful! Immeasurable, yet so intimate. Immeasurable, yet so available. He is making home, His home, in your heart.
Bob, you and I were both commenting, listening. He was very deliberate. He was very slow in his speaking, which is a little untypical for, I think, those listeners who have heard him now many times. But he was speaking with a deep burden on this point. I was really impressed, Bob, that this immeasurable, all-inclusive Christ who's above all and through all and even under all somehow can be so intimate as to dwell inside our hearts.
Yes, Chris, this is a marvelous point that Christ does not want to be merely immeasurable. He wants to be intimate with all of us.
Mm.
And this word intimate, I appreciate very much. Because if you consider, what does it mean to be intimate? Well, I was thinking about this. First of all, to be intimate with someone is to be involved in a detailed way with that person.
Yes.
That means this great immeasurable Christ has come into us to be involved with us in a detailed way, in everything related to us, including the way we think, the way we feel, and our motives, our intentions, everything in our inner being. Christ is intimately involved. He wants to be involved with us. And also, I was also considering, to be intimate with someone means to be fully open to that person. So the Lord wants to be intimate with us. He wants to open Himself to us, and He wants us to open ourselves to Him. For what purpose? So that He can move in to our mind, our emotion, our will, all the components of our heart, and make His home there in a detailed way. Just consider when you moved into your home, the present house you now occupy.
Right.
That's a very intimate experience.
No.
You go into every room.
Yep.
You adjust things the way you like them.
You deep clean before you start, before anything.
And you clean it out
yeah.
very well. It's a very personal thing. And the Lord wants us to have a personal, intimate relationship with Him in which we are fully open to Him, to let Him come into our mind, our thinking, to give us His mind, and let Him come into our emotions, our feelings, and let Him make His home there, and let Him come into our will, even our motives, our intentions, and to rearrange our very inner being so that He is fully at home, fully comfortable to dwell in us.
Marvelous. Of course, I think we mentioned in a previous program, maybe our listeners were not with us then, this matter of Christ being in our heart, making home in our heart, it's borrowed often to be used for presenting the gospel to people initially. But Paul here is very much speaking to the church in Ephesus. These are the saints. And even he's burdened and praying for this strengthening, so that Christ can make home. So obviously, this is above and beyond our just initial salvation experience. It's the intimate dealing with Him day by day over all the fine points and all the nooks and crannies of our inner being. This is really a mysterious but marvelous process, isn't it?
It is very marvelous, Chris. And this really is what produces the church. because Christ and the church are mingled together as one. And the building of the church is carried on through this process of Christ making his home in our hearts.
Well, somehow, Bob, in the divine economy, mystically, Christ is at the same time in our hearts, yet seated at the right hand of God in the heavens. And as this moving in process is going on, I think, as we'll see in the coming portion, one of the things that makes it possible is that there's a lot of traffic between the Christ in us and the Christ in the heavens. And that's the subject of the next segment. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, "Therefore the Scripture says, having ascended to the height, he led captive those taken captive and gave gifts to men. And then, now this, he ascended, what is it except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended, he is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things." So that really points us to this traffic ongoing between the heavens and earth, which is made possible through Christ and his becoming, the life-giving Spirit now residing in our spirit. Let's go and join Witness Lee for this portion.
Chapter 4 tells us something very strange. It says Christ ascended up on high. And before ascending, he descended to the lower part. Do you really realize that Christ firstly descended, then he ascended? The very Christ is a real traveling Christ. He did come down from the heavens to this earth, didn't he? And he went down into the lower part of the earth, didn't he? He descended there. And then, he ascended out of the lower part to the face of the earth. In that day, even in the morning, he saw Mary. Then after that, he kept ascending, ascending up on high. And you have to realize, after that ascending, he came down again. This time, he made a good visit into your spirit.
Amen.
He's the descending, ascending, traveling, visiting Christ.
Amen.
Today, Christ still traveling. He comes down into you, and he brings you up to God. He's the best elevator. We could go to the heaven many, many times in a day. My Christ within me is traveling. It's descending and ascending. It is by this descending and ascending that he gives the wonderful gift. Not the gift in speaking of tongues. Not the gift in healing. But to make you a gift. Suppose we have a very good brother. Sorry to say to the church, he's not so useful. He is a good brother, but he has not been constituted as a gift. But I tell you, Christ, the descending and ascending head, is going to capture him as one of the vanquished foes to make him a gift by descending and ascending, descending and ascending, down, up, up, and down. By this kind of traveling, after 6 months, he's no more a good brother, but a useful gift.
Amen.
He will be constituted as a gift to the church by Christ descending and ascending.
Oh, Bob, again, our eyes just get opened up. It's like they're propped open with popsicle sticks to see this. You know, we read these verses a minute ago in chapter 4, verses 8, 9, and 10. Verse 8, where it initiates this matter of this heavenly traffic ascending and descending, it says, "And gave gifts to men." So these gifts he's talking about are in the context of this descending and ascending Christ. How is it that this traffic produces gifts, Bob?
Well, first of all, in this traffic, you can see the traveling of Christ. First of all, He had to descend. He descended out of heaven to be a man on the earth. Then he was crucified, and he descended further into the lower parts of the earth. That means into Hades.
Oh, wow.
Then he rose up out of there, and he ascended to the earth, where he was for 40 days with his disciples. Then he ascended into the heavens again. Then he descended again by entering into our spirit. Now he's traveling with us and within us. See, sometimes we are down, right?
As right.
Christians, we're not always up, but we shouldn't worry because Christ has already descended into the lower parts of the earth. He knows what it's like to be low. So he is down with you. He's down with me. When we're down, he's down with us. But his intention is to bring us up, to bring us out of our down situation into an up situation, a situation in which we are brought into God more and more. But then after that, again, it seems we go down. But he goes down with us, within us. He travels with us and within us to bring us up again. So by this up and down traffic, which we experience in our daily Christian life, he constitutes us with himself. He makes his home in us by our ups and downs. We always like to be up. We don't like to be down. But our downs are just as precious and valuable in our experience as our ups because these are with him. He is with us and he is within us, building himself into us and constituting us to make us a gift to the church as his body.
Amazing. What a Christ we have, and all to produce gifts out of us, constituting us to be the gifts for the body, the church, to build up the church. Bob, in this last segment, we're going to look again at how intently he desires the church and how all of his work, even on Calvary, on the cross, was designed not just to save us and solve our individual sin problem and get us to a status where we can be with God for eternity, but really the goal, again, is the church and this corporate dwelling that he is building up among us, his regenerated believers. What a view. Here's Witness Lee once more.
The book to the Ephesians is not only unique with Christ, but also unique with the church. This book tells us that the church is not only a body, an organism, but the church is a new man. As a new man, he needs the life, no doubt. But the more he needs a person. What God wants as a church, yes, but a church as a new man. And the obstacles, the frustrations for the realization of the new man are, strictly speaking, nothing but ordinances. Forget about your way of worship. Forget about my way of worship. Forget about the Japanese way of living. And forget about the European way of living. And forget about the American way of living. Christ has abolished all kinds of ordinances. In the new man, there's no Jew, no Greek, no circumcision, no uncircumcision. In the new man, the church, there's no Chinese, no American, because your ordinance has been abolished by Christ on the cross already. I like to see that all of us are people taking Christ as a person.
Amen.
We all must go to him to make a thorough dealing about your daily living, about the small things, the details. Amen. You need to have a thorough dealing with the Lord.
Amen.
Who is making his home in your heart. As long as you keep your way of living, that is your old person. If you would take Christ as your person, no more ordinance. Just no more ordinance.
forget about all this formal religious preaching. The living Christ, yes, the living Spirit.
Amen.
We need to open up ourselves to take the living Christ into us.
Amen.
Well, Bob, this really touches in a very practical way part of the making home process in our heart, which means that some of the old furniture has to go when he moves in. And that old furniture is summed up in this word ordinances. Just to remind our listeners of Ephesians 2:15, abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man, so making peace. Bob, we think in terms of ordinances as some kind of law, but really how is it practically applied here?
Well, in Witness Lee's speaking, he related the ordinances to different ways of worship and different ways of living.
Yes.
As Christians, we have our ways of living and worship. We are God's people. We like to worship God in a certain way. And we also like to live in a certain way because we were born as either Americans, Chinese, Spanish, whatever. Our way of living is pretty much wrapped up with our nationality, the ordinances, the even unspoken regulations or ways of doing things. But the Lord on the cross abolished all the different ways of worship and all the different ways of living. That means he abolished all the different kinds of persons, the Chinese, the Americans, the Europeans, the Asians, the Spanish-speaking, all have been abolished, different kinds of persons, so that by making his home in our heart, by our opening to him and allowing him to make his home in our heart, he becomes the unique person in the church. And the church becomes the new man, composed of many former Chinese, former Americans. Of course, we still live in America, but inwardly, we shouldn't be American. We should be Christ. Christ should be the one living in us, and he is our way of worshiping God, and he is also our daily life. In every detail, he is our living. So he's the person. He wants to be the person so that he can have a new man.
Bob, these cultural or national differences that we are all under and all live by become barriers, walls separating us from other believers who have a different culture, a different background. And it's quite a realization to enter into that on the cross, Christ not only dealt with our sins, but even dealt with these separating walls, these cultural distinctions, these racial distinctions between the peoples. In Christ, we are one new man. I think there's a resounding echo out there, don't you, among all the peoples of the earth, if they realize this aspect of the gospel.
This is absolutely tremendous, and I believe if we would really open ourselves to this matter, we would really have a resounding amen. Yes, we want one new man. We don't want all the separations, divisions, and conflicts between the different races. We want one new man, but how can we have this? Only by experiencing the cross of Christ to deal with all our ordinances and then allowing Christ to make his home in our heart, to be the unique person among us.
Another wonderful life study message in a book of Ephesians. We're drawing near the end now, but this has been quite a journey, hasn't it?
It certainly has, Chris.
I've appreciated all the times you've been with us, and we hope we have a couple more before we finish Ephesians. Thanks again for today's fellowship.
I look forward to coming back again.